hope is pouring out his joy and his peace over them, giving them power to believe, to trust in you. And that you, Holy Spirit, would just constantly be poured out over them, that they may abound in every single work of Bethany Children's Trust, would abound in hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And we pray for ourselves now that we would receive all that you have to give to us through Susie. And we thank you that that's not just by words, but that's by the power of your Holy Spirit. So we welcome you again, Holy Spirit. We open our lives to receive what you're wanting to give to us right now. Share with us, impart to us by the power of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord.
Much you guys that were leading worship this morning. Don't they serve us well?
Yeah.
Really serve us well. As I've been coming over the years, I've just really seen, I don't know, you're just, it's just becoming more and more of a joy. And it's like you're touching something precious there. So be encouraged. Thank you. Right, what's God got for us today? I'm Susie Howe, and I'm director of the Bethany Children's Trust. For those of you who don't know, the Bethany Children's Trust is a Christian charity that's based here in the UK, but we work to serve churches in many different parts of the world, predominantly in Africa, but as we network with others, we're actually impacting other nations as well. But we partner with churches that have a vision to reach out to the children in their communities that are at risk and vulnerable in some way or other, whether it's street children, whether it's children who are orphaned, whether it's children who are affected by disability, or children who are accused of being witches. And we love the church. And we believe that the church is God's primary organ for manifesting Jesus in the world today. And what we want to do is encourage churches and equip churches through training and through guiding them in their vision and helping them to release their vision for raising up a generation of disaffected children, really, marginalised children for Jesus. And those are the kids that are going to be on the top table in heaven, I believe. So, are you going to be doing the pickies, as it were? So I'll just go like that every time I need you to change. Is that all right? Okay. I just want to speak today about the transforming power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And, fantastic. It's over here as well, so I don't have to keep doing that. It just gets better and better here, doesn't it? Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, so often as Christians, we talk about the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. But if we truly believe that it was such brilliant news, wouldn't we be spending our last penny and our last ounce of breath in order to share with anyone and everyone who we could get to stop for just 1 minute to listen to it? Can we really say with the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 1 and verse 16, I am not ashamed of the gospel because it is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. I love that verse because it's truth. That verse is truth. No matter what you see with your eyes or hear with your ears, that verse is the truth that the gospel is the power of God for the salvation of everyone who believes. And, you know, do we really have confidence that as we share the good news of the gospel in word and in deed, whether it's at the school gate, or whether it's with our neighbours, or whether it's with our families, as we share the gospel in word and deed in the power of the Holy Spirit, because without the power of the Holy Spirit it's dead, we shall see, we will see individual lives touched, changed, transformed, restored by Jesus Christ, families reconciled and restored, communities reconciled and restored, and indeed transformed and realigned with God's blueprint for humankind. And that's truth. Do we really believe that God is at work through his people today, bringing healing and restoration to this world, taking ground from the enemy and establishing outposts for the kingdom of God in people's lives? Because that's what we're about, isn't it? Taking ground from the enemy, who has absolutely no right, and in the authority of Jesus Christ, taking the ground and establishing outposts of his kingdom until he comes again. Of course, most of us believe this to be true, or we wish it to be true. But we can become discouraged from lack of results or from prevailing cynicism. In the UK here today, there's just a prevailing culture, isn't there, of hardness of heart to the things of all that is good, all that is true, all that is lovely. There's this prevailing culture of cynicism and hardness. And when we see this, when we read the newspapers, it's very easy to become discouraged. But you know something? All that cynicism is masking lies very often that are bleak and despairing. And we need to go beyond what we see and what we can hear and just keep pushing in with the truth that the power, the word of God and the gospel of Jesus Christ, when put into word, when shown in action, and when anointed by the Holy Spirit, is the power of salvation and will transform and will bring results. You know, it's all too easy, isn't it, for us just to read our Bibles and to become inured to the wonder of the gospel. You know, the absolute wonder of the power and the truth of it. This incredible gospel. It's dynamite. The gospel is dangerous. The dynamite is dangerous. The gospel is dangerous dynamite. Yeah?
Yeah.
You all sit to me, look like I'm talking about paper dry. I hope I'm not that boring. But I get excited about the gospel and the impact of the gospel because it is dynamite, because it is truth, and because it does release people into all that they're called to be in Jesus Christ. But as we read our Bibles, we just have to really guard our hearts, don't we? That it doesn't just become the same old, you know? Like a little comfortable pair of slippers. Ooh, there's my Bible. Ooh, God, what have you got for me today? What have you got for my life today in the Bible? It just becomes a bit comfortable rather than the fire in our bellies and the compelling and driving force of our lives, yeah? What we want it to be, and if it's not, we can pray that it will become so. I get discouraged. I get discouraged when my friends and my family look anything less ecstatic when I share with them about Jesus. I do get discouraged, you know. When they respond with a lack of interest or actually downright rejection. And that's normal, but I keep saying no. This is the truth. This is the truth.
I'm filled with the spirit of the living God. I've got dynamite in me. And you know something? I once heard somebody say that that the greatest sin is to know where the water is in the desert and not to share it with those that are thirsty and dying. And the gospel is the water in the desert, isn't it? And we need to share it. So that's why I'm here today, not to make you feel bad, but to encourage you. I want to encourage you by sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ as it's being outworked in Rwanda. We partner, Bethany Children's Trust partners with an organisation called AFRICOM, AIDS Prevention, Care and Outreach Ministries, that is reaching out to people living with HIV disease in Rwanda. Rwanda, as you know, this month, actually, April, it celebrates for, it commemorates for a month the anniversary of the genocide, which took place 18 years ago, where, as you may or may not be aware, millions of people were slaughtered, brutally slaughtered, between the conflict between Hutus and Tutsis. And that has left a legacy, almost like a spiritual legacy in the nation, and an impact on people's how they are. And it's in this context that AFRICOM is working. As a result of the genocide, there were, I think it was 250,000 women, a quarter of women were raped, and seroconverted, became HIV positive just because of genocide rape, a weapon of war. And they now have children that have been born, and many of those are HIV positive as well. And in the camps, people became HIV positive. There's a lot of HIV in Rwanda. But the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ is breaking through and transforming the situation, and that's what I want to share with you. So, AFRICOM is based in the capital city of Kigali, and we've been partnering now with AFRICOM for 10 years. The Bethany Children's Trust isn't just there for the short term. We're not a quick in and out. But we are there to serve our brothers and sisters, to hold up their arms and to build relationship with them and to encourage them and equip them for the long term and not the short term. And as I've said, AFRICOM is restoring the lives of families, children, men, women living with HIV or AIDS. And that is by sharing the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in word, in action through the power of the Holy Spirit. And it's a small team. If you think you need a big army to bring about change, you do not. Here we have four workers, champions of the faith: Odette, Amis, Emma, and the lovely Jane. And it's a small team that's seeking to equip the church, so it's trying to work with churches as well. And those that come to know and love Jesus Christ, they almost like join the team and become part of the team of the work that they're doing. So if you think it needs big people, if you think that the gospel of Jesus Christ can only be effective when handled by theologians or, I don't know, church leaders or something like that, you are wrong. You know, Jesus used ordinary men and women, didn't he? Really ordinary people. He filled them with his spirit, with his dynamite spirit, with his dynamite words, and he let them loose on the world. And I don't think we quite appreciate actually how this world has been impacted by the gospel of Jesus Christ. Well, I really don't think we do. So AFRICOM's vision, just through this small team, is to help to bring people living with HIV and AIDS to come alive, really, to Jesus, to be restored in their hope, and to live life to the full. And they're really there as well, mobilising the church to become a caring community for all people, including those living with HIV and AIDS. Because, of course, even today, after I've been working in HIV since 1983. Amazing, I know, for one who looks so young. But in all seriousness, you know, it's been a couple of decades, and there's still a lot of stigma around. And we want that church to be a caring community that embraces people of all conditions. Doesn't matter what their background journey is, what their background baggage is. The old has gone, the new has come. And what they're doing with people living with HIV is they go and visit them in their homes and hospitals just so we can build friendships, to share the word of God, to listen to them, to pray with them, to give them practical advice and help, sometimes to give some help in the home and stuff. They give nutritional and medical and educational support for the orphans, and particularly for the parents. This sounds awful, but we want the parents to stay alive as long as possible. So we really focus on helping the parents as well as the children to get good nutrition and to have access to the drugs that are going to help to combat the virus or to put it on hold. And also, they are running adult and child support groups where people have been in isolation, living with HIV, come into a group of people and realise, oh, I'm not the only one, where they can share lives, create community, become part of the family, if you see what I mean. And in those groups, they do a lot of counselling, of praise, of worship, teaching the word of God, but also very practical teaching, like teaching health and hygiene, and how to live well, if you see what I mean. And we've started doing things like training God's blueprint for parenting, God's blueprint for being a man, God's blueprint for being a woman, God's blueprint just for relationships with him and others. And really trying to teach kingdom culture to these lovely people. Not the culture of Rwanda, not the culture of the UK, but the culture of the King. And help them to find that place in the community of the King. And so the other activities that they're involved in, I've mentioned some of the teaching, I probably need to speed up a little bit. Income generating projects, which is really, really important. Because many of these people, they've lost their jobs if they ever had jobs. A lot of people in Rwanda are deeply impoverished. It's very hard to get employment there. And so you've got HIV, and it's, you know, maybe you're sick on and off. But we've helped them with income generating projects, like a range of things, which I'll share with in a minute, so that they can have the dignity of making money for themselves and being able to meet their children's needs for food, for school fees, and for medicines and things like that. And all this, crucially, is underpinned with prayer and with the words of God, with Bible teaching, and with relationship. This is all built out of relationship. Actually getting to know these people, eating with them, you know, just loving them, and mobilising local churches to do the same. Crucially, we've started, they've started mobilising several churches in the vicinity to copy what they are doing, and starting to see some wonderful results. And you know what happens when you start to do that? You see growth, and you start to see people come to know and love Jesus Christ, and you start to see the church grow. So it's wonderful. And there is holistic transformation. And it's not just them. Literally, we've seen people who go, as you will hear, from being completely crumpled in a place of despair. Maybe they are physically near the edge of death. We've seen people brought back from death, and now they're vibrant. They're holding down an income-generating project. They're going out teaching. They're going out sharing. Absolutely amazing. And then there becomes social transformation. Because you know what? It's amazing. We've now got the neighbours of the people that we're helping to support saying, can I come to your group? And they're now saying, why have you changed so much? We want what you've got. Which is exceptional. And mentally, they're no longer seeing themselves as defiled or somebody who's lost the way, and or whatever. But they see themselves as loved by the King of Kings, that they are a daughter. They see themselves as princes and princesses. They often say that. I get people come and say, I'm a queen. And I just say, you are, darling. You are so a queen. And they're just finding themselves, you know, the spiritual transformation that starts permeating out and affecting their families, permeates out, starts affecting their neighbours, permeates that out a little bit more. And it infects, I'd like to say, and affects with hope the community that they are living in, the communes that they are living in. When I say communes, that's just the words that they call for, like, their little regions that they live in. This is one of the support groups. Now, do they look like a bunch of people living with HIV disease or AIDS who are in despair? No, they don't, do they? Look, isn't that amazing? I love these guys. I know them. You know, this lady, she's got such an awesome story to tell. I'd love for you here to tell it. But she was actually, and I want to, she was a prostitute. And let me say now, not all people living with HIV are prostitutes. And it doesn't matter how they acquire the disease anyway. We've all taken roads we shouldn't have in our lives. But some people acquire the disease through absolutely no fault of their own. But she was on a path where she was a prostitute, and she decided she was going to kill herself in the end. But then she met Akpacom. And now, look at this woman. She's come alive to Jesus. That woman, she is a lover. You know the, in John, isn't it John chapter 12, where Mary comes and just anoints Jesus with this largesse of perfume, really expensive perfume. When she worships, I just think, oh, you're so Mary. As we get going, he is so beautiful. The way our King comes and transforms these people. They started making bed sheets. My team has got one of them on your bed, haven't you, in the summer. And it's beautiful. You know, they embroider. And they sit around their support groups making these things and then sell them. But at the same time, it's almost like a therapeutic activity as well. So really lovely. They share their lives together. And they started weaving baskets and making, you know, absolutely amazing. These people are gifted. Look at that. It's amazing stuff. They're so gifted. And they're not just gifted in making things, they're gifted in who they are. You know, it's almost like polishing up a kettle that's become blackened. You start to polish up, and you start to polish up, you start to see beauty underneath, and their personalities start to come out, and their gifts and their skills start to come out. They start loving themselves and believing in themselves, not in a big-headed way, because they know they are loved and accepted, and the old has gone and the new has come. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ in action. And they make this beautiful jewelry, which, by the way, little plug now, I am selling some of these pieces at the back of the church after the service. If you want to come and girlies, if you want to come and have a little sneaky look, or if you want to get some presents for other people, and every single penny will go back to the person that actually made that article. These are some of the children's support group. We've got groups called Nshuti Itzitza Club, which means friends in the Kinyarwandan language. And these children are all HIV positive themselves. But again, through love and through nurture, we're really discipling them to be participants in all that God is doing in the earth, in the here and now. We just want them to find their place in God's community right now and to take an active part in it. And again, you want to see these kids worshipping. They are extraordinary. And they really share lives. Some of these children have had to care for sick and dying parents and seen them die. Some of them are having to care for siblings because mummy and daddy has died. You know, they have to do things way above anything that a normal child would have to do. And they come to the Shooting at Zitza Clubs. It's time to play. It's time to be a child. But they do receive counselling as well. And we've had them trained in trauma counselling, the workers trained in trauma counselling so they can give counselling to the kids. These children are just blossoming. It's not to say they don't have their problems, it's not to say that the adults don't have their problems either, but they're shared problems. We share them together. The older children, as they grow up, as I say, we've been partnering with them for 10 years now, as they grow up, we just realise we need to give them skills so that they can start to do stuff. So we're just starting to think around this, and we're training them in life skills, preparing them for life, as it were, all sort of like biblically underpinned. But we just started getting them involved in this sewing project, so some of the older ones can start learning to sew so that they can generate, again, income for themselves. And I just want to share a couple of stories with you. This is Janine, and I first met her 7 years ago. And this was her 7 years ago with her mum, and she has four siblings. And when I met her, literally, her mum and this family of five were living in what was an abandoned, the dogs were living underneath that corrugated iron. Somebody had let them come and live in there, all six of them. Janine's mum is HIV positive. Her husband had died of AIDS. Therefore, her husband's family had thrown all of them out, disinherited them completely, and she ended up on the streets. So they found somebody that would let them live in this outsized dog kennel. But the mum was constantly sick. Janine was having to look after the kids. It was a very bleak situation indeed. And when I first met her 7 years ago, Janine is a lovely girl. She has a relationship with Jesus even then. Even in this bleak situation, Janine had a relationship with Jesus. And they had just started to be supported by Aquacom. And Janine said this. It's because I get moved, it's not because I'm sad. I wish I could do this without doing this. I have a dream that one day we will have a home of our own where we can live securely as a family. A home from which no one can throw us out. I don't care if it's only one room. It is God that gives me strength each day. And perhaps with God it is possible. I went home from that visit, and I was just like crying to God, saying, God, give this family a home. I don't know how you do it, but if you're the God you say you are, give this family a home. I got this phone call from another charity in the UK. It was a housing charity. And they said, we know you're not a housing charity, but we've heard what you do. We're having to close down, but we've got several thousand pounds that we want to give away, but you've got to use it on housing. No. Would you be prepared to take that money? No. I don't even think I thought about it for a millisecond. I just get right round here now. And out of that, we were able to build not just one house, but at the time, three houses for people who had nowhere to live. But it wasn't just, you know, this is them when they just got their new home. I mean, just look at the joy in their faces. This, my friend, is the gospel of Jesus Christ in action, by the way. Don't think that this is a little bit of charity work, a little bit of pivoting. This is all part and parcel of the gospel of Jesus Christ in action. And it was just so thrilling. This is Janine, just before Christmas on her wedding day. And the family's just gone from strength to strength. Her mum, Alfonsina, is now so fit, so well, through all the love and nurture she's received, and because she's come alive spiritually, and she's not spiritually hopeless. She now holds down a job in the marketplace, and she makes baskets. In fact, the last basket that we've got there is made by Alfonsina, her mum. She's just so vibrant, Alfonsina. It's almost hard to believe that she has AIDS anymore, if you see what I mean. Janine has gone on from strength to strength. Now, don't think that she's miserable on her wedding day. In African culture, you do not smile on your wedding day. Right? So she's not miserable. In fact, they virtually don't smile in pictures. Very hard. You always have to have a smile, for goodness sake. The workers, all the African family, were there at the wedding, because, of course, this is family. And one of the African staff was sitting here, and behind her were two old women who had been invited, because in African culture you invite everybody rocks up. And these old women were going, "You know," she said, "this is the difference with this religion. This is what becomes possible with this religion." I just want to share with you, I just want to share with you the story of Jonathan. He was a witch doctor, that's what he calls himself. And I met him in February, and I've met him before as well. He is an incredible worship leader. He's really learned to become an incredible worshipper of Jesus. You want to see him on the drums. Fantastic. But he says this, and I just wrote down his story. I'm going to read it to you now. "I joined the Jocondo AFRICOM support group 2 years ago." "I joined the Jocondo AFRICOM support group 2 years ago. My life was a mess." That's a teeny thing. "I joined the Jocondo AFRICOM support group 2 years ago. My life was the best. I knew that my wife and I were HIV positive, and I used to think that if I could smoke and drink enough, I would be happy. But I wasn't. I got involved in all sorts of things that were bad for me. As a witch doctor, I used to ask Satan for power and would do whatever he said. People came to me for help, and I used to lie to them to tell them to do wrong things so that they would pay me. At the same time, I was attending a church, but living a false life." Everybody attends church in Africa. "Then one day, I heard about AFRICOM and went to the Jocondo support group. That step changed my life. Week by week, I learnt about God in a new way from all the people who came to teach at the group. I started to worship God and to come alive in my relationship with Jesus Christ. I gave up being a witch doctor. I wanted to tell everyone about my new relationship with Jesus. I no longer wanted to smoke and drink. I loved God and those around me. Now, I am the leader of the Jocondo group," which is that group that we saw. "And my greatest passion is going door to door to share about Jesus with people in my community. I have a vision to bring one new person to church every month. I've started learning wood carving," which is in his hands, "as part of the AFRICOM income generating scheme. The money I raised from the carvings will go to support my family. Looking back, I'm so grateful to God. If I hadn't come to know AFRICOM, I wouldn't have come to know God. And definitely, I would be dead by now. As it is, I'm very much alive." That, my friends, is the gospel of Jesus Christ in action. And let me just share with you one more story of Janice. This, I want to encourage you, friends. I want to encourage you. This is to encourage you, okay? Janice says this. "I came to live in Gahanga from eastern Rwanda in order to marry my husband. I was a committed Christian and very happy. But when the genocide broke out, I lost everything. My husband, parents, and all my siblings were killed, and my home was destroyed. My three children and I survived. Because of the trauma, I could barely function. I stopped talking to people and hid away. I carried so much pain, it was destroying me. I went to church on a Sunday and said my prayers, but it gave me no comfort. I would hurry home after the service to avoid having to speak to anyone. And by the time AFRICOM started the support group for genocide widows in Gahanga in 2004, I was like the walking dead. I'm writing this verbatim, by the way. I went to the first support group meeting, but fled afterwards and decided not to return. I couldn't bear seeing people so happy. But AFRICOM came to visit me at home. They sensed I was a broken woman. Gradually, I started to respond to their love and their care. I went to the support group again, and slowly, I started to heal. My faith in Christ was renewed. I came to a point where I could forgive those who had destroyed my family, and I wanted to live again. But it hasn't been easy. In 2006, I discovered I was HIV positive. But AFRICOM was there to support me and my children. Because of all that I have suffered, I found a strength that I never had before. And now I can truly say that I am a woman who is totally alive and free. She is now one of the leaders of the Gahanga support group. And she says, the members are my new family. We love and care for each other and share our lives. It's a miracle of reconciliation. Because the group is formed of Hutus and Tutsis. Some of those present are relatives of the people who did the killings in Gahanga. Some may have approved of the killing. Then, of course, there are those of us who have lost loved ones. But most of us have found a relationship with Jesus Christ through AFRICOM's care and witness, and we have genuinely forgiven each other of what happened in the past. We are a new community and have plans for the future. We started growing aubergines and carrots to generate income so that we can pay for medical support and to care for ourselves and our families. I'm keen that we work hard to become self-sustaining. God has given us abilities and we want to use them. We are no longer weak, but we are strong because we have been loved, comforted and cared for. Part of our vision now is to reach out to others in the surrounding villages that are still carrying pain and hurt. We want to comfort them, to share Christ's love and truth with them, and help them to come alive the way that we have come alive. And now she's adopted these two little children as well, Nicholas and Nancy. This is one of the workers, Jane, with her. I mean, Jane's got her own story, but I don't have time to tell it now. And this is now Janice with her two adopted children who were orphaned, and she's actually taken them in since she came to AFRICOM, because now she's got something to give. This is the good news of the gospel. Isn't it amazing? It didn't happen overnight. It's taken years of perseverance and love, and at times disappointment, practical help, sacrificial love and commitment, and faithfulness on part of the AFRICOM team. It's taken years of helping to share joy and sorrow, of standing with them and holding out the word of truth, and of giving very down-to-earth, sacrificial, practical help and care. And you know, bringing in a harvest, it takes a long time, doesn't it? To make seeds, to nurture, to grow, the rains to come. You've got to really nurture it. It doesn't just happen overnight. If a plant is going to grow well, it's going to take a long time. And it's been the same with AFRICOM. But we are now really witnessing the fruits of all their hard labour and their faithful witness. And it's not just individual lives that are being transformed, we're seeing the society around about starting to be transformed. And Brian Myers, who is an amazing guy, who I absolutely love and have had the privilege to meet on different occasions, he was the vice president of World Vision, another amazing charity. And he once wrote this: when it is at its best, the church is the sign, a witness to the kingdom of God breaking into the world. I love that. When it is at its best, Brookside is the sign, a witness to the kingdom of God breaking into the world. We've seen the reality of that statement as it's illustrated through these lives and stories that I've just told you. In context of real bleakness, you know, you don't get much more bleak than genocide, HIV and AIDS. But you know, it's the same for Brookside Church. as you authentically share the gospel through your daily lives, your corporate worship, and your relationships, and through your missional groups, the kingdom of God will break out here in Reading and early. It's not a case of if it will, it's when it will. And I pray that the Holy Spirit is going to give you a renewed and a restored, a fresh passion for the gospel of Jesus Christ, and a renewed confidence in its transforming power. May we all receive from the Holy Spirit, and I include myself in this, a fresh anointing for love and for perseverance. Love, patience, and perseverance, because nothing happens overnight. May we be given courage that as we build relationships with our friends and our neighbours and our families, as we demonstrate love in practical kindness, commitment and compassion, as we share God's word and pray for others and live godly lives, then God will bring kingdom transformation. As it says in Galatians chapter 6 verse 9, chapter 6 and verse 9, let us not grow weary of doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. And I was thinking, I was praying about this time that I was going to come here and see you and say, Lord, is there any particular verse or anything? And God led me to Matthew chapter 10 and verse 8, where Jesus is with his disciples. He spent a good part of a couple of years and more, nearly 3 years, in putting into their lives, giving to them. Their lives have been touched and changed and transformed. Their lives have been turned around. And then he sends them out. And he says this: heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons, and this is it: freely you have received, freely give. Freely you have received, freely give. And what has really touched me about these stories that I heard this morning, Jonathan has freely received. Wasn't his deserving, none of our deserving, from the God who gives and gives and gives, who gave everything, who gave his life because he so loved the world. Jonathan freely received. And now what's he doing? He's not going, cool, now I'm just going to keep on being loved and looked after by these people, because this is a nice place to be. I like being a bit needy. I like being looked after. I'm going to stay in this safe and secure place. No. Is compelled by the gospel of Jesus Christ to go out and give. What did he say? My passion is knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus. Now, some of us would rather slit our throats, me being one of them, going and knocking on a door. But that's what he's doing. He's sharing Jesus. And he wants to see one new person come into the church every month. He's freely received, he's freely given. And then what about our lovely, lovely Janine? She's freely received, and what does she say? Now we want to go out and give to those in our surrounding villages, because they too have need. They too need the water in the desert. They too need to encounter Jesus, not just through words, but through love and compassion and kindness. And I would just say that all of us in this room have received from God mercy, grace, love, salvation. If you don't know Jesus Christ yet, you need to know him. You have got to know him. Do not go out of this room without knowing Jesus Christ. And if you want to know about him, come and speak to me or come and speak to one of the leaders. But, back to the thing I was saying. What was I saying? We have all received freely, haven't we? And God has given us gifts. He's given us so much. And, you know, whether he's given us materially, whether he's given us financially, he's given us gifts. We might be unemployed. We might be out of work. But you've got gifts, my friend, that you can go and share and use with others. You are a gift. go and share the gift of who you are with others. And I would just say, don't stop giving. You're a church that gives. You give freely. You give freely in your community. But I would dare you to give more and see what the outcomes will be.